Today I want to look at Daniel. And then next Sunday you're going to look at Paul when he was let down in a basket through a window. And that's for the next couple of weeks. Next week we'll talk about Christian service, how you can be involved in Christian service, and how you can assist those who are involved in Christian service. And today we want to look at the power of a consistent faith through the window of Daniel. If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Daniel, chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6, verse 10 is our text, but again, keep it open. Keep your Bibles open as we will read some other verses from that chapter today. Daniel chapter 6, verse 10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house and his windows being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem. He kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Father, we thank you again for the examples in your word, the righteous example of Daniel as he lived a life of faith and remained faithful to you. The Lord was not afraid to show where his allegiance was. We pray, Lord, today that as we all look through his window, that we would have the grace, the desire and power of a consistent faith like Daniel had. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. They are known as the 40 Martyrs of Sebaste. In the famed 12th Legion of Rome, in the Imperial Army, there were 40 soldiers who professed their faith in Jesus Christ. One day, the captain informed them that the Emperor Licinius had sent out an edict commanding all soldiers to offer a sacrifice to the pagan gods. These Christian warriors said, "You can have our armor and even our bodies, but our heart's allegiance belongs to Jesus Christ." Because of their stance, they were marched out onto a frozen lake in midwinter of AD 32 and stripped of their clothes. At any time, they were told that they could renounce Christ and be spared from death. There was a warm bathhouse that was waiting for them on shore to warm up in. Instead, they all huddled together and sang their song of victory. 40 brave soldiers for Christ are we. 40 brave soldiers for Christ. We'll be true to our God and stare death in the face, though we perish on this lake of ice. We're 40 brave soldiers for Christ. After a while, one man stumbled and raced toward shore. He entered the warm bathhouse and died immediately because of the extreme temperature change. 39 men were left standing on the ice. As an officer in charge of guarding these men listened to their singing and saw their faith, he had secretly become a Christian. And he tore off his clothes and he ran out into the middle of the ice, huddled with the rest of the men, and began to sing, 40 brave soldiers for Christ are we, 40 brave soldiers for Christ. We'll be true to our God and stare death in the face, though we perish on this lake of ice. We're 40 brave soldiers for Christ. The next morning, 40 men were found on that ice as they had given their all. They had given everything in allegiance to their God and to their Christ. They demonstrated a faith that was consistent. So does the man that's featured in our text this morning. Daniel was a man who possessed a consistent faith. He had this consistent faith all the days he lived. As a young man, he was separated. As a middle-aged man, he was sold out. And even as an older man, he still remained surrendered to God. And as we look in the window and see Daniel face and weather this great trial of faith, there are a few lessons I would like to point out today as we consider the power of a consistent faith. What we can learn from Daniel teaches us that it is consistency that pays off. It's not just how you start the race, although that's important. It's not just how you finish the race, although that's important too. But God is concerned that we run the entire race, that we live our whole lives faithfully. And there is power in a consistent faith. Allow me to point out several lessons contained here. First of all, a consistent faith will be tested. A consistent faith will be tested. If you choose to live for Jesus, holding nothing back, that faith will be tested. Persecution will come your way. But that's not a bad thing. Notice what is accomplished when faith is put to the test. First of all, the sinner is convicted. In Daniel chapter 6, verses 4 and 5, then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. But they could find none occasion nor fault. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. See, the men were disturbed by Daniel's faith. They knew that he possessed something that they didn't have. You know, and as the world watches a believer walk through the lion's den, and they see faith at work in their lives, it touches their heart. As you live a life of faith consistently before the world will take notice of you. The world will notice that. And it will eventually touch their heart. Believers, Paul said, are living epistles. Don't think for a moment that the world does not see your peace. Don't think for a moment that the world does not see your Christian actions. Don't think for a moment that the world doesn't see you receiving help from the Lord. The sinner is convicted, and then the saint is cultivated. Verse 3, then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Daniel was already a great man. But God wanted him to develop even further. See, your trials are never meant to destroy you, but only to grow you. And even if you're a great person here today, there's still trials that come your way, not to destroy you, not to tear you down, but to build you even further, to make you even greater. You know, as we build this new church, I've got the opportunity to see some tools used that I've never seen before. I guess you could say that I'm a little bit tool challenged when it comes to the devices that are needed in building a new church. Fortunately, there are men here who know how to use those tools. And they've brought some amazing tools, and I've enjoyed learning to use some of them. You know, this long time back, we used this thing called a chalk line. You probably all know what that is, a little gadget, very handy when used for building. It's just this little metal container filled with chalk dust, blue or red dust, and it's got the string on. You roll up the string in there, get it full of chalk. You hold it out. One guy holds one end, the other guy holds the other end, and somebody snaps it in the middle, and you got this perfect line on the ground or the wood or whatever it is you want to have a straight line at. It's an amazing tool, something simple like that to guide you. There have been many other tools that we have used and we've enjoyed using. But you know what the greatest pleasure I have in that whole thing? The greatest pleasure that I have is enjoying our people build a church for God's glory. That's the greatest thing. And you know, I think it's a great task. I believe that God has called us to minister to the community and to bring new people into church. We're going to need tools for that as well. Different kinds of tools, but we need tools to do that. And what do you think the most important tool for us to have? What do you think the most important tool to have, especially as we reach out to our very own community? Daniel had this tool, and Daniel used it very effectively. The tool that I think is the most important, the tool that Daniel had, is the tool of personal integrity. Integrity. What exactly is integrity? You know, I've been pleased to hear we had our district youth director stop by. It was actually the day of Clarissa's surgery, and I was with her, and I didn't see him stop, but he came, and he looked around the building, and then he went up to Quick Trip to have lunch with his wife, and they ran into a couple of people who were wearing Sherman Williams shirts. And they began to talk to these people, and I think one might have been Larry and probably Sean Cormack, and they said, you know, God is at work here. And they began to testify of some of the things that God has done that they knew about in the church, and one of them said, you know, it's a great thing to be able to finish the job and to get paid right away. You know, and I thought, that is a great testimony of our integrity. And that's the kind of thing that we want to have in this community, is we want to have a good reputation. We want to be people of integrity. What exactly is integrity? Webster defines it as consistency and sincerity with no deception or pretense. The word integrity and the math term integer come from the same root word, which means whole. In other words, there is no discrepancy between what a person appears to be on the outside and what he is in actuality on the inside. What you see on the outside of a person is exactly what they are like on the inside. They are the same through and through. Warren Wiersbe observes, a person with integrity is not divided, that's duplicity, or merely pretending, that's hypocrisy. He or she is whole, their life is put together, and things are working together harmoniously. People with integrity have nothing to hide and nothing to fear. Their lives are an open book. Charles Swindoll recounts the true story of a man who went into a Kentucky Fried Chicken store in Long Beach, California, to get some chicken for himself and the young lady that he was with. She waited in the car while he went in to pick up the chicken, but inadvertently, the manager of the store handed the guy the box in which he had placed the money, the deposit, the financial proceeds of the day, instead of the box of chicken. He was going to make a deposit and had camouflaged it by putting the money in a chicken box. This man took his box, which he thought was filled with chicken, went back to the car, and the two of them drove away. When they got to the park, they opened the box. They discovered the box was full of money. Realizing the mistake, he got back in the car, returned to the place, and gave the money back to the manager. The manager, of course, was elated. He was so pleased, he told the man to stick around. He said, I want to call the newspaper. I want them to come and take your picture. You have to be the most honest guy in town. Oh, no, don't do that, said the man. Well, why not, asked the manager. He said, because I'm married and the woman I am with is not my wife. The story illustrates that on the surface, individuals may look like people of integrity and honesty. They look so good that they wouldn't steal 35 cents. But underneath, there is a lot of corruption. Well, integrity says that the outside matches up with what's on the inside. There is no division in a person of integrity. They are whole. For the Christian, integrity means there is a congruence between our character and our creed, between our beliefs and our behavior, between our walk and our talk. It means loving God with the totality of who we are and allowing our faith to extend into every area of our life, to allowing our faith to extend into our finances, into our family life, into our career, into our community relationships, any area of life. As I said, Daniel's experience can teach us a great deal about this tool. I mean, he flowed with it. We could say that integrity was his middle name. I'd like to read to you from Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 11 through 14. Listen to these thoughts that God has for you. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity. And I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord. And I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. These are the words that Daniel was reading one day and saw that God was going to bring him and his people back to the land that he had given them. They were one time going to be delivered from bondage and captivity. God had made them this promise. And you know, when we find ourselves in a place where our faith is tried, we need to consider verses like this, that when we seek the Lord with all of our heart, God will make sure that we find him, and that God will bless us and we will honor us, and he will not only bring us back to the land that we have been taken from, but he will also restore all of those things that were lost. I'm so glad that God is a God of restoration, aren't you? I'm glad that he restores all things. He makes all things brand new, and he will cause us to return to a place, and everybody can look and say, God was with them in that situation. You know, the devil meant it for good. He meant for them to stay in captivity. He meant for them to stay in bondage all their life. But God is so good. God delivered them. God set them free, and God gave them more than what they had even in the very beginning. You know, he did that with a lot of people, didn't he? He did that with Job. He restored twice as much as that which Job had lost. But Job was another one who remained faithful. His faith was consistent no matter what happened, no matter what trials came his way. If you're going through a difficult time, you're being tested. You know what? On the outside, on the other side of this, God will reveal himself if you would set your heart to seek him. But I mean really seek him. Don't have a superficial knowledge of him. But like Paul, Lord, I know you, but I want to know you more. God will release from captivity, and God will restore lost possessions. Sinner is convicted. The saint is cultivated. The Savior is celebrated. Because of Daniel's trial, God received glory and honor. And if you look at this on the other side of the lion's den, the king makes a decree that Daniel's God is to be worshipped. As the trials of life come against us and we stand faithful in spite of trial, God is honored. God is honored by the faith of his people. Three Hebrew children found themselves one day in the middle of a fiery furnace. But they remained faithful. The king wanted them to bow down and worship this false god. They very respectfully declined. Our God is able to deliver us, and he will deliver us from thy hand, O king. But if not, we will still not bow down and worship the false gods that you have set up. And when it was done, the king said, there is no other God who can deliver like the God of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were promoted in the kingdom. There's David, there's Goliath. You know the thing that really got to David about Goliath? Is when that uncircumcised Philistine began to mock his God. And David said, I won't stand for this. None of you should stand for this either. How dare he defy the armies of the living God? And Goliath thought, do you know, David, who you're up against? And David thought, Goliath, do you know who you're up against? Because greater is he that is in me than he that's in you. Amen. And by the way, the bigger they are, the harder they fall. And so David took out his sling, went down to the brook, got five smooth stones, because Goliath had four brothers. He wanted to get them all in one shot. And he would have got them all, too, if he would have had help from the rest of the army, I think. But as the Philistines scattered, their leader, their giant, lay dead. David stood for God's reputation. You know what? If I stand for God's reputation, the same thing will happen to us that happened to Daniel. David was made king. We are kings and priests according to the New Testament. God will honor us if we honor him. And then there's Stephen. As he's being stoned, preaches a tremendous message there. But he's consistent in his faith, even to the point of death, even as the stones are being hurled at him. Do you know how faith convicts the enemy? There's one little detail in that story that sometimes goes overlooked. And the detail is that there was a guy by the name of Saul standing there watching this whole thing, watching the faith of this man as he gives it all for God. You know, I really think that that was probably one of the motivating factors that got Saul started seeking. He started seeking God, and God reveals himself. You will seek me, you will find me on the road to Damascus. Saul has this heavenly vision of Jesus, and he surrenders his life. You know what happened to Stephen as he was being stoned? The Bible tells us that the heavens were opened and Jesus stood, welcoming him into his eternal presence. Not always will the promotion come in this life, but if we will faithfully serve God, there will be a promotion that awaits us in heaven someday. And then there's Paul, consistently stood for God, consistent in his faith, and God used him to write most of the New Testament. Paul tells us that how we are to endure during trials and persecution. He's the one that tells us that there are crowns that await us. The consistent faith will be tested. Secondly, a consistent faith will testify. Sometimes the testimony of faith under trial is louder than a testimony of words. It testifies to its focus. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open, the chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. David stayed the course for God, knowing that he had no one to please but God. When a person walks faithfully with the Lord in spite of the problems and temptations that surround him, he makes a bold statement about where the focus of his life really is. The believer who possesses a consistent faith doesn't try to please everyone. He just tries to live to please God. His primary concern is the glory of God. And you know, God has a way of working out the rest. Apparently, Daniel's habit was to pray 3 times every day. Perhaps he was following the example of David, who wrote in Psalm 55 and verse 17, "Evening, morning, and at noon will I pray and cry aloud." And so he just consistently prayed. He knew that this was a trap to get him not to pray, but it didn't matter. He went before the window. You know, he didn't even go to a closet somewhere. He prayed where he always prayed, with the window open, where everybody can see, and he talked to God. You know, I would really, really want to encourage you to pray more. I really, really want to encourage you not just to pray in your individual lives. You need to be doing that on a daily basis, no question, no doubt about it. I really want to encourage you to join us for prayer meetings here. First Sunday of the month after fellowship dinner, stay around and pray. Pray with us on Wednesday nights. We don't realize, I don't think, the power of prayer. And I don't think we really realize that we're really not going to accomplish much, if not anything, if we don't pray. I know where Daniel would be. Anytime there was a prayer meeting, Daniel would rather be eaten by lions than miss a prayer meeting. That's how much he thought of the power of prayer. And notice his position. Daniel kneeled. And I think if our health permits, that's a good position to which to talk to God, because it's uncomfortable. If you sit in a recliner and pray, I know what happens. Pretty soon you start dozing off. And you get very sleepy and you offer a few sentences. And I know you can stand, and I know there's all those positions, but I would encourage you, if you're physically able, to once in a while at least kneel before God. Jim Elliot once said, God is still on his throne and man is still on his footstool. There's only a knee's distance in between. Richard Foster said, if real prayer, we begin to think God's thoughts after him, to desire the things he desires, to love the things he loves. Progressively, we are taught to see things from his point of view. William Carey once said, prayer, secret, fervent, believing prayer, lies at the root of all personal godliness. If we want to be godly, if we want to live righteously in this present evil world in which we live, we need to get on our knees. We need to pray. You see, the sinfulness of our society sometimes can be very confusing. The world says, you know, it's got right and wrong all twisted up. That which was once wrong is now right. That which is right used to be wrong. And it's so confusing. And even Christians get mixed up in the ethical decisions of life. But time spent with God clears our clogged sin sensors. He helps reprogram the ethical rationales in our minds so we remember why right is right and wrong is wrong. See, God has not changed. What was right to God before is still right with God. What was wrong with God before is still wrong with God. We've clouded the issue. You say, well, I don't have time to pray. Daniel was CEO of the kingdom, and he had time to pray. I came across this little note that addresses this principle. It goes like this. When you're faced with a busy day, save precious time by skipping your devotions. Signed, Satan. Anyone who lives a life of integrity knows, as Daniel did, that we can't afford to miss regular time alone in conversation with God. It testifies to its foes. Verse 11, then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and made supplication before his God. David did not alter his ways. Even to appease the king, he remained consistent in spite of the danger and the pressure to conform. God, give us saints who will take their stand for the Lord and will be consistent in their faith and in their Christian life in spite of what they are facing. 1 Corinthians 15:58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. See, here's the thing. If you stand for God, if you stand for him, he will stand for you. Psalm 55 and verse 22, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. And then it testifies to its friends. Daniel chapter 6, beginning with verse 14. Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, know, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king establisheth may be changed. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God, whom thou servest continually, how often did he serve God? Continually. He will deliver thee. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions? Daniel's faith made an impact on his friends. Daniel's faith made an impact on that king. He believed that the Lord could get Daniel through any trial. When faith is exercised, and it's exercised consistently, it has the power to move others to consider the Lord for themselves. And when faith is practiced, it encourages others to be more consistent in their own faith. You know, your faith, my faith, our faith can help our brothers and sisters grow. And then number three, a consistent faith will triumph. A consistent faith will triumph. Verse 21, then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel and has shut the lion's mouth, that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Daniel's faith gave him the victory, and your faith will do the same for you. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 57, but thanks be to God which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14, now thanks be unto God which always causes us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. A consistent faith will triumph. It will triumph over every adversity. Daniel's faith in God allowed him to enjoy victory over the den of lions. King Darius, his detractors, and even over Daniel himself. His faith carried him through every trial. Daniel learned what every saint can learn. God will either get you out of your trial, or he will give you grace in your trial. What he doesn't take away, he makes a way to take. Faith can still part your Red Sea. Faith can still fill that empty barrel. Faith can still keep the cruse of oil flowing. Faith can still multiply loaves and fishes. Faith can still calm your stormy seas. Faith can still cause you to walk on stormy waters. Faith can make a way. Faith can take you through the furnace. Faith can deliver you in the lion's den. Faith will deliver you from every adversity. Jesus said, all things are possible to him that believeth. And then a consistent faith will triumph over every adversary. Daniel's faith enabled him to see the lions lose their lunch and his enemies lose their lives. He saw every foe defeated. The saints of God will see the enemies of the faith fall one by one. And we will see that faith conquers all things. What's the three adversaries the saint has, the Christian has? The world. 2 Peter 3:10 says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. The world will be destroyed. The flesh. We will have victory over the flesh. Verse 54 of 1 Corinthians 15. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. The great enemy of death, even that enemy will be destroyed. The enemy of our flesh. Romans chapter 7 and verse 24, Paul says, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of death?" Who's going to be delivering me from this fleshly body of death? You know what he's referring to? He's referring to a Roman custom where they would take a condemned man and they would tie up on his back a corpse, a dead body. And this man would carry this dead body wherever he went. Wherever he went, this dead body was strapped to him until eventually the living man died from contagion, from the putrid mass of decaying flesh on his back. That's the picture Paul had in mind. Who will deliver me from this body of death? Thank God, through Jesus Christ, my Lord. Jesus has already defeated that old man, Satan, and his desire to put you to death. He takes that putrid mass of decaying flesh out of us and gives us a new heart with a new life. And then the devil, the last enemy mentioned, Revelation chapter 20 and verse 10, "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." All the enemies of the Christian will be dealt with in due course. You know what? We need some Daniels. We need some Daniels in our day. We need some men and women of faith who will make up their minds to be consistent. Just to be consistent. Are you a consistent Christian? Do you live every day to the glory of God? God just wants people to be consistent. He wants us to walk in obedience minute by minute and day by day. Does that describe you? If not, there is help in Him. If you are up and down and in and out, you don't have to be. You can walk with Him and you can be consistent. He will enable you just as He enabled Daniel. And then you and I can demonstrate the power of a consistent life. Could I have your heads bowed and your eyes closed? How consistent are you in your walk with the Lord? Are you up one minute, down the next? On the mountaintop one day, in the depths of despair the next. God wants you to develop a consistent Christian life. It comes with maturity, but it comes really with that decision to do so. That's what Daniel did. Very early on, he purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. He purposed in his heart that he would live a separated life. And then as he lived life, he saw that God was faithful and could be trusted. So every trial that came along, Daniel could remain consistent. He could remain consistent because he knew that God would be faithful to him. Are you here today and you say, "Lord, I'm not as consistent as I'd like to be. Would you help me to be consistent?" Could the Lord see your hand? Just raise it up and then down. Amen. Lord, we pray for Daniels here. Lord, we pray that you would make us consistent, that we could testify to this world that is watching us, and that, Lord, ultimately we could bring glory and honor to you. That is our great desire. That is the reason why we want to live a consistent life. To bring honor and glory to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Daniel 6:23, "Then was the king exceeding glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found on him because he believed in his God." And then in verse 26, king says, I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble in fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God and steadfast forever, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. God wants to be glorified in your life as you live a consistent, faithful life.